It's time to get inside the Giants huddle.
Huddle up, huddle up, huddle up.
On Giants.com.
Here we go.
And the Giants mobile app.
Get them in there, let's go.
Part of the Giants podcast network.
Welcome to another edition of the Giants Huddle Podcast brought to you by PSEG, energy efficiency for game time at any time. Visit PSEG.com/Giants for discounts, rebates, and home energy assessments. Joining us from NFL Network, the one and only Daniel Jeremiah. Daniel, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. Always good to talk to you around this time of year. We usually talk about Giants picks in the top 10, but no. Picking the 20, so we'll get to that second. Let's do team building first. I know you love to kind of figure out how you build successful teams in the NFL. Giants, big decisions in free agency this year. Daniel Jones, the big one. If you were Joe Shane, put his GM hat on, how would you like to structure that in terms of setting up the Giants for success long term?
Well, I agree with Joe in terms of, I think it's a priority trying to get something done with Daniel. I think you feel a little bit more comfortable on the shorter end in terms of the length of the deal, just to give him more time to kind of prove himself. I mean, he's coming off a really solid year. You want to see, is this, you know, going to continue to trend in the right direction? So I don't think it's a long-term commitment. I think you have the luxury of the franchise tag there as kind of your leverage point to see, okay, where are you comfortable? And, you know, it's a 2 or 3 year commitment at a number that you feel good about. And if you don't feel great about, you know, the number, or it gets pushed up too high, you always have to fall back on that tag, which then brings you to the next point of business, which is then try and get something done with Saquon. You know, and again, I think that's another one where, because of the position you're talking about, hopefully, you know, a 2 or 3 year guarantee.
Yeah, and we know when you evaluate quarterbacks how tough it is, right? And I think we saw Daniel do a lot with not a whole lot, right?
Yeah.
He was efficient, but still the overall production numbers, at least in the passing game, his rushing game was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's not in that elite category yet. So if you do go either a 1 year tag or a short term deal, then does it become mission 1, 2, and 3 to get more around him to see what he can do with more?
They've got to get faster, you know, they've got to get more weapons, and they've got to get guys that can run and make plays down the field. Because, you know, when you have to play, station to station baseball, so to speak, and you don't have people that scare anybody else to open up the rest of the field, it makes it really tough to play that position. So I give him a lot of credit for their ability to move the football and score points as they have, because they just don't have any speed. They need some juice.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. You mentioned Saquon. Let's hit him real quick. Then we'll get to the draft here. What do you think the market's going to be like for him? It's such a deep free agent running back class. It's such a deep running back class in the draft. You know, Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, then you get the Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, there's so many good players out there.
Yeah.
I mean, is it, even if they have to franchise Jones and he hits the market, I sense the Giants might be able to get him on, maybe team friendly is a little strong, but on a reasonable deal just based on the depth of the market, right?
I agree with you. It is a really good draft group. You mentioned all the names in free agency. It's just, it's the market's flooded. So I think that does help you in terms of trying to get a long-term deal done there. And I think you can be patient and you can set a firm price that you feel good about. And, you know, in worst case scenario, you don't want to lose him. He's been a great player, but you could replace him very cheaply.
Yeah. All right. So now let's get to the draft here. The Giants are interesting. They picked Wanda Robinson in the second round last year. I think it's safe to say he's a slot-only guy, right? He's 5'9", he's slot-only.
Yeah.
So then you look at the Giants here at 25. Let's put Quentin Johnson aside because obviously he's an outside guy.
Yeah.
Then you get to the Jaxon Smith-Njigbas, the Zay Flowers, the Jordan Addisons. I'll go to Josh Downs even. Which one of these guys do you think is most adept and has the most capabilities of moving outside to complement a guy like Robinson and even a guy like Isaiah Hodgins?
I like Addison. You know, I think Addison can play outside. I think he can play inside. You can do whatever you want him to do. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he creates a ton of separation. He's a polished route runner. He's got outstanding hands. So to me, I think he's the most skilled of these wideouts. I think he'd be a great fit with Daniel as he's trying to continue to grow and emerge and evolve as a player. I think he'd be a good complement to Wandale. So, you know, ideally you want to find a bigger body to put out there at some point in time. But to me, separation and speed and quickness has got to be the top of the list.
And how about Smith-Njigba? Because obviously when he was with Ohio State last year, he was with Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. He was their slot guy.
Yeah.
How do you think he projects potentially to being an outside receiver?
I like him better in the slot. I think that's his home. I think that's kind of where he is. There's nothing to be ashamed of there.
No.
I think he can be a high volume guy in there. But in terms of, you know, fitting, I think he's more of a duplicate of what you have there, or maybe a better version. But I, with you, I think they need to find someone on the outside that can go.
How about the concept if you don't like the wide receivers that are left at 25? Addison's gone, Johnson's gone, and you're kind of sitting there, you're like, I don't love these guys. I'd much prefer to wait.
Yeah.
Would you consider going tight end? in that spot. But then I think, all right, yeah, these are really good players, but do Kafka and Dable want to play 12 personnel, right? They both come from systems where they were 11 yeah. all day.
Yeah.
So how would you take that option into consideration?
Well, I still think you're looking for weapons. I think you can be flexible. And if you feel like this is somebody that can get open and make plays and the value is there, he's just a better football player than a wideout, I think you can navigate around that. And, you know, some of these guys, like you take Dalton Kincaid,
I love Musgrave.
Him, these guys are big slots too. I mean, like you can just flex them out there and let them run wide receiver routes. You see it with Kelce, you know, every week when you watch the Chiefs, how they use him. So I think this year, because the receiver group's down, I think the tight ends, you've got to think of tight ends. And even I would throw into there some of these backs that can really catch out of the backfield, like Jahmyr Gibbs, Kenny McIntosh. You got to look at weapons. You know, we're just trying to add more firepower, more offensive weapons this year, and not get too hung up on receiver, tight end, or running back.
Have you heard Kincaid's going to work out? Because I know he was kind of battling
injuries.
No, he's got a back.
Yeah. He had a little small fracture in his back, I believe. So he's not going to be able to do anything. I don't know how much he'll be able to do even going through the spring. But I think he's one of the best players in the draft. He's unbelievable on
his tape. Route running is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. He gets so much separation, and then after the catch, he's so competitive. So I think he's a great, great talent. You know, hopefully he comes through this medical stuff okay. He's another one. He's a little bit older, which we have a few of those guys in this draft. So you know, hopefully he navigates through this process, comes out with a clean bill of health. I think he'll be a great pro.
All right, we talked about weapons around Daniel. I think you want the protection around him a little bit better too, right? You have Andrew Thomas on the left side. He's developed into an excellent player.
Yeah.
Evan Neal. Rough first year, but I think you hope he improves. He's going to be there.
You got the blueprint, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. He's going to sit there. He's going to be your guy. And I think he has the tools, obviously, where you think he's going to succeed. Inside, do you think round one's a little rich for that? Where do you think the sweet spot is if you're trying to find a guard or a center in this draft?
Well, I think there's not many of them. I think there's a good clump of four or five guys, and I think you're going to see one or two of them go late first round, and you're going to see the rest of them go early in the second round, and I think their run's over. So, you know, I almost feel like there's some urgency there. If you want to take one of those guys, maybe you trade back a little bit.
Who are the guys you like there?
So the handful of guys, you're looking at Osiris Torrance from Florida, who's just a big, powerful guy. Steve Avila from TCU can really move. You've got the two centers in Tippmann from Wisconsin. You've got John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota, that group. And then I would put Cody Mauch from North Dakota State, who can play all five positions. I think all those guys are going to go. I'll be surprised if any of those guys are around after the 40th pick.
Interesting. Wow, they will go quick then. So as you move ahead here in the Giants and you're trying to build out this offense, you mentioned the weapons, you mentioned inside. What are some of the things that you think Daniel needs to do better to kind of take that next step once he gets some more guys around him?
Well, you know, I think that out of survival, he's had to get out of there earlier than maybe he would like to. But I think it's just being a little more comfortable to be able to sit and hang in the pocket and be able to work deeper through progressions and make some more plays there. But again, I can't fault him because he hasn't had guys that could uncover, and then he's had some leaky protection, particularly off the right side. So he's kind of has done what he's had to do. I think once you get those other pieces in place, then you can ask more of him in terms of that.
All right, let's jump to defense. If the Giants want to kind of smooth that position out a little bit, could be a huge cornerback first round, six, seven guys maybe. Start it this way. Who should Giant fans not even consider that, oh yeah, maybe this guy will get to 25? Who's gone?
Yeah, I think that the three guys I think will be gone. I think that the two big guys in Gonzalez and Porter will be gone. I'm a Witherspoon fan from Illinois. I love his game. He's going to be gone.
He had that play early in the year when he read that one little screen pass and he came back and he blew
he's
that
got
guy
huge
up.
Hits.
Oh, man.
He's got great ball skills too. So I think all three of those guys are probably gone. You know, the name that I would keep an eye on that's kind of emerging through this process is a good player is Deontay Banks from Maryland. He's big. He can run. You know, Ringo from Georgia is a polarizing player, but there's a lot of ability there. Another height, weight, speed guy. So those are kind of the guys I think that'll be in that next wave of corners.
Who are some of the guys that you think fits the Wink scheme? Even if not early, maybe a little bit later. Long can play press man and kind of deal with all his blitzing.
Yeah, I mean, I would go back to Banks. I think Banks kind of fits that. He's long and physical, and really Ringo can do a lot of that stuff too. He's a pure press man corner. So both those guys to me make a ton of sense.
Middle linebacker, another spot where the Giants, they basically picked Jarrod Davis off the Lions practice squad in week 17. He was starting the playoff game for them. So I think it kind of tells you where they're at in terms of middle linebacker, right? Is there a middle linebacker that's going to go in the first round? Is Sanders going to make it? Is Trent Simpson going to make it? Or you think that's a little bit of a reach?
You know, I'm beginning to think it doesn't happen. You know, one name to keep an eye on this week is Jack Campbell from Iowa, who's going to be big. He's going to run fast, like big, like 6'4", and can run. So that's one to keep an eye on. But I, you know, I don't. I don't think it's a great year for off the ball linebackers. So some interesting names. To me, like a guy that's not even here at the combine, like Marte Mapu, is a fun one. Who's kind of the modern day linebacker, where he's around 220 pounds, but he's 6'2 and change. He's long. He can cover. I'd rather take one of those guys, a guy like him, in the third round than to spend a late first round pick on some of these other ones.
Linebacker uses is interesting to me, Daniel, because, yeah, like you said, you want someone that can run and cover, carry a tight end. But if you structure your defense properly and you just want to blitz your guys,
yeah,
that kind of almost makes it a little bit easier, right? Where you're sending the guy, you don't have to worry about the coverage aspect. You're in third down, you put four safeties on the field instead of linebackers, right? So how do you view that position kind of heading when it comes to building your roster in the NFL?
It's not one. I mean, there are exceptions. You've seen, the Ravens trade for Roquan Smith. They paid him.
Fred Warner is an exception,
Fred
obviously.
Fred Warner, you look at, Darius Leonard, his new name. I always forget his new name.
Oh, yeah.
Shaq Leonard.
Yeah, Shaq. Thank you.
Shaq Leonard. But there's a lot of teams that just aren't going to do it. You know, I call the Charger games, and they went out and draft Kaiser White in the fourth round. Plays really good for him. Let him walk. They had replaced him with Drew Tranquil, who they took in the fourth round. I'm sure they'll probably let him walk this year. And these guys are good football players. But you feel like you can find them in the middle rounds. You know, the Eagles got, I thought, was a fantastic player out of Georgia last year.
Yeah.
In the third round. They got N'Kobe Dean in the third round. So I don't think there's quite the emphasis on off-the-ball linebackers with most teams.
All right, I want to ask you about running back, because I guess there's an off-chance Saquon doesn't come back, right? How deep are we looking here? Are you looking fourth round? You can get a guy that you feel pretty good about playing at least half your snaps?
Double digits. I mean, I think there's double-digit guys that can play that have a chance to be starting running backs. So it's a really deep group, and you can find them all throughout this draft. And again, that's why it's going to be fascinating to see the marriage between free agency and the draft and the impact that it has. And you got to keep that in mind. I know Giant fans, you appreciate Saquon and how great he is, and I'd want him back too. I would. But if for some reason it doesn't happen, the sky is not falling. There are a lot of options.
Final question. What's the first big domino league-wide that falls? Is it Derek Carr? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Is it something that nobody's thinking about?
I think Aaron Rodgers, I think everything's being held up right now by Aaron Rodgers. You know, once he decides whether or not he wants to A, play, or B, stay in Green Bay, then I think soon thereafter the Carr decision gets made and off we go.
DJ, good stuff, my man.
Good seeing
your brother. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network. Check out their coverage all week long on the NFL Combine right here. And, of course, check them out on the Move the Sticks podcast. I'm John Schmelk. See you next time on the John Settle Podcast.